Made Lord Narasimhadev roaring for his devotee Prahlad Maharaj, Protect us from all fear of dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions through poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. May the Lord cover their influence by his own transcendental influence. May Nishimade protect us in all directions and in all corners, above, below, within, and without. Isharu continued, O Indra, this mystic armor related to Lord Narayan has been described by me to you. By putting on this protective covering, you will certainly be able to conquer the leaders of demons. If one employs this armor, whomever he sees with his eyes or touches with his feet is immediately freed from all the above-mentioned dangers. This prayer, Narayan Kavacha, constitutes subtle knowledge transcendentally connected with Narayan. One who employs this prayer is never disturbed or put in danger by the government, by plunderers, by evil demons, or by any type of disease. O King of Heaven, a Brahmana named Kaushika formerly used this armor when he purposely gave up his body in the desert by mystic power. Surrounded by many beautiful women, when Chittaratra, the king of Gandharva Loka, was once passing his airplane over the Brahmana's body at the spot where the Brahmana had died. Suddenly, Chittaratra was forced to fall from the sky headfirst with his airplane. Struck with wonder, he was ordered by the great sage named Valakilyas to throw the Brahmana's bones in the nearby Saraswati River. He had to do this and bathe in the river before returning to his boat. Shri Sukadev Goswami said, my dear Maharaj Pariksit, one who employs this armor or hears about it with faith and veneration, when afraid because of any conditions in the material world, is immediately free from all dangers and is worshipped by all living entities. King Indra, who performed 100 sacrifices, received this prayer of protection from Vishwaru. After conquering the demons, he enjoyed all the opulences of the three worlds. Report, this mystic mantra armor given by Vishwaru to Indra, King of Heaven, acted powerfully with the effect that Indra was able to conquer the Asuras and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds without impediments. In this regard, Madhvacharya points out, Vidya Karmani Chasada Guru Prapta Fala Prada Anyata Naiva Falada Prasamukta Fala Prada. One must receive all kinds of mantras from a qualified spiritual master, otherwise the mantras will not be fruitful. This is also indicated in Bhagavad Gita. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you, yes, he has seen the truth. All mantras should be received through the authorized guru, and the disciple must satisfy the guru in all respects after surrendering at his lotus feet. In the Padma Purana, it is also said, Sampradaya Vihina E Mantras Te Nishpala Mutam. Therefore, Sampradayas are the separate successions, naming the Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya. If one wants to advance in spiritual power, one must receive his mantras from one of the bona fide Sampradayas. Otherwise, he will never successfully advance his spiritual life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the sixth canto, 8th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Narayana Shield. Translation, Prahlad Maharaj loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Narasimhadeva. May Lord Narasimhadeva, roaring for his devotee Prahlad Maharaj, protect us from all fear of dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions, with poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. May the Lord cover their influence by his own transcendental influence. May Nishimadeva protect us in all directions, in all corners, above, below, within, and without. So, this is the completion of this chapter about the Narayan Kavacha, or the shield created by placing the syllables of Vishnu mantras on different parts of the body, and then uttering prayers to the different forms of the Lord. So the purport here is that one should take shelter of the Supreme Lord and no devata if one wants protection of any sort, benedictions of any sort. This, of course, is not the ultimate goal of worshiping the Lord, and it is also mixed devotion. However, it is far superior to worshiping devatas to get material benedictions. We see here that the devatas wanted to get back to the heavenly kingdom. At the end of the chapter, we see that Indra succeeded. He used this kavacha, and he was able to defeat the demons in spite of the fact that he had offended his guru. So, and then he could enjoy nicely in heavenly planets. So he got his enjoyment out of this. So he employed the worship of Vishnu in order to get his enjoyment in the upper planetary systems. So that is not the ultimate goal of bhakti, but nevertheless, even for material things, the ultimate giver is the Supreme Lord and nobody else. So though devatas seem to give things, actually the ultimate giver is the Supreme Lord, and the devatas are secondary givers. But of course, as Bhagavad Gita says, they quickly give you the results. So this is why sometimes people go to the devatas and get those benedictions from them. As we see, Shiva is very easily pleased, etc. So he gives benedictions. However, ultimately, all of these benedictions come from the Supreme Lord. And without his powers, the devatas cannot do anything. So therefore, ultimately, everything goes back to the Supreme Lord. So one can worship the Supreme Lord for these things. However, one who is intelligent will understand that ultimately by getting these material things, he cannot really be happy. And therefore, he has to look for something else. So no matter how many material things we get, this is not the real ultimate goal of life, to get Svarga Loka or whatever, because it's temporary and it doesn't give real satisfaction. So, of course, on a lower level, yes, people can worship the Supreme Lord and live comfortably in the material world. That's one provision made by the Lord. That is higher than worshipping devatas. And devata worship is higher than worshipping nobody and trying to get happy in the material world. So, worship the Supreme Lord and get your material results. Yeah? But higher than that is to not be attached to the material things and instead simply worship the Supreme Lord out of devotion. That is that's pure bhakti. So that is higher than mixing the bhakti with other elements of material desire. And therefore, the result is different. If you worship the Lord for material things, yes, we get material things. Of course, there's a difference because by doing so and not worshipping devatas, the Lord is pleased, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I accept these people who worship me because they want to get material things. So this karma misra bhakti is better than simply karma and worshipping devatas. And therefore the result is better. It is better than jnana. It is better than yoga. So bhakti in any form is better than all of these other processes. So mixed bhakti is better than jnana and yoga and karma. And it gives better results. So karma gives us Svarga Loka or Brahma Loka, whatever. Mixed bhakti will give us more than that. What's more than that? More than liberation. But devotees don't want liberation. And jnana gives liberation. But mixed bhakti is superior to jnana. So therefore, mixed bhakti must give something better than jnana. Better than liberation. And the same with yoga gives liberation. So mixed bhakti gives something better than liberation. So what is better than liberation? Then a spiritual world. So those who do mixed bhakti also get a liberation of sorts, because there's five types of liberation. There's Salokya, Sarasti, Samipya, Sarupya, and Sayuja. So those who practice Jnana get Sayuja, merging in the Lord. Those who do mixed bhakti will get Salokya and Sarupya and Sarasti. So they get to the spiritual world, which is better than getting to Brahman, impersonal liberation. Of course, this doesn't mean when they go to the spiritual world they're impure. No, they're pure. Now they've been purified by that process of mixed bhakti also, because of the bhakti element. But the bhakti element is not so strong. So they go to the spiritual world, they get a nice form, they get a nice place, they get nice qualities and powers. But they don't get a relationship with the Lord, which is very strong, that's all. So the bliss that they get is inferior to the bliss that those who practice pure bhakti get. So one practices pure bhakti in sadhana, and then one gets a practical relationship, an actual relationship with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. And that develops into rasa. So that rasa is not available for these other persons, or if it is, it's at a very low level. Shanta rasa. So the mixed devotees are definitely superior to the jnanis and the karmis and the yogis. But they are less than those who practice pure bhakti. So according to the type of bhakti you practice, you get different results. So karma misra bhaktis will get sarupya and sarsti, and they can enjoy very nicely in the spiritual world with their spiritual bodies. Jnana misra bhaktis can get shanta rasa in the spiritual world, and they can be sages there, very peaceful. And when they see the Lord, they experience that He is Brahman, almost like Brahman. And they also appreciate the form of the Lord. However, they do not get a real advanced relationship with the Lord. So that is reserved for those who practice pure bhakti. So they establish relationships in dasya, sakya, vatsalya, or madhurya in the spiritual world. So, therefore, though we see even in Bhagavatam there are examples of this mixed bhakti, as in the case of the devatas here using their worship of the Supreme Lord to get their positions, this is not the ultimate form, but it is certainly better than this worship of devatas and excluding the worship of the Supreme Lord. So even in worshiping the devatas, one should not think that simply worshiping a devata will give a result. If those persons offend the Supreme Lord and do not recognize Vishnu at all, they can also not even get results from their worship of devatas. So along with devata worship, it has to be Vishnu worship. If it's not there, no results. So, therefore the ultimate conclusion is better that we just practice the pure bhakti rather than these mixed forms or the other processes, and we get the best results. So here we have prayers which are offered for getting certain material results. Protect me from danger, protect me from this particular position in the material world, etc. In this particular prayer, there's a prayer to Nrisimhadev. And Nrisimhadev is famous because he's a lion and he roars very loudly. And by his roar, he can destroy all the demons. He doesn't even have to use his body. His roaring will put the demons in great fear. So it is a prayer for protection. So here it is mentioned that there are different directions, Dikshu and Vidikshu. So the Dikshus are east, west, north, south. Like that. And the Vidikshus are in between. That is northwest, southwest, northeast, and southeast. So we got eight directions there. Plus we have two extra directions, up, adha, and down. Our Purva and Adha. Purva is up, Adha is down. So we have 10 directions. So we have to get protection in all directions. So the Supreme Lord can do that. Why? Because he's everywhere. He's inside everything and he's outside everything. He pervades everywhere outside, so all directions up and down is covered, and he's also inside everything. So automatically the Supreme Lord covers all possible places where danger can come from, inside or outside. So this is expressed here in this prayer by showing the different directions, etc. The Supreme Lord can destroy all fear in all directions by his roaring. Svana, that means his voice, his roaring. And by his tejas, his power. That power swallows up all other power. So whatever power is in the material world is automatically completely negated and destroyed by his power. Like we have positive and negative energy, so the two come together, they come zero, so to speak, one. Yeah, like that. But this power is different because when his power meets the other power, it doesn't go to zero. His power remains as it was, but the other power goes down to zero. So it says, grasa samasta teja. All powers are completely gobbled up, devoured by his power. So that is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He has inconceivable power by which he never decreases. In spite of the fact that he can destroy everything, he doesn't exert any energy at all. So he is in no way becomes less powerful by exerting all of his powers. He stays the same. And he can destroy all the opposition, etc. So there is therefore complete safety if we take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So here, Nrsimhadeva is used as the example because he is the form of a lion, he's very ferocious, and he's famous for killing Hiranyakasipu, a great demon, and all of his soldiers. He's very ferocious against the demons, and whatever. All the different types of fear. It says lokabhayam, fear in the world. So that can be fear from everything. Just as Hiranyakasipu wanted to be protected from all sorts of dangers, from animals and humans and devatas and whoever is in the world, in all directions, in all time, in all places, etc., by all elements, etc. So they wanted protection in all ways. So that lokabhayam, danger from something in the material world, is there. So the Nrsimhadeva destroys all that completely because of his power. That's the power of the Supreme Lord. However, we do know that though Nrsimhadeva is a Purna avatar and displays more qualities and powers than other forms, still Krishna displays even more power in spite of the fact that Krishna's attractive quality is the sweetness, which is opposite of power. Nevertheless, Krishna has even more power than Nrsimhadeva or Rama. So whatever tejas is celebrated here in Nrsimhadeva is definitely also in Krishna. So whatever powers we see here can be quickly defeated. In fact, it is astonishing that Hiranyakasipu became Ravana, became Shishupala. So he wasn't any less powerful when he became Shishupala. The same demon power was there. But how did Krishna destroy him? Of course, we see externally he used the Sudarshan Chakra to finish him off. But actually, he was destroyed in another way. That was by the sweetness of Krishna. Because of the beauty of Krishna, Shishupala could not help thinking of Krishna. And this destroyed all of his karmas and his sins and his whatever. So by continually thinking of Krishna because of his sweet qualities, all of his karmas disappeared. So he was no longer a demon at a certain point. When Krishna understood he's no longer a demon, then he touched him with a Sudarshan chakra. So technically, of course, we see that he threw the Sudarshan chakra to kill him. But actually, he touched him, and by his touch he gave him prema. So therefore, he was qualified for prema because he had been purified by meditating on the Supreme Lord Krishna. Which didn't happen under normal circumstances, because as Ravana and as Hiranyakasipu, we also saw the Lord, but he didn't become purified. But he became purified because of Krishna's sweet qualities. And so in spite of his hatred was destroyed by the sweet qualities of Krishna. And therefore, Krishna eventually gave him prema when he became purified. So, the power of Krishna was not displayed by his weapon so much as by his sweetness. The sweetness itself had such power to purify and destroy the demon element within Shishupala. So that is how Krishna manifested his power in a completely different way. So, though Krishna is all sweet, he can, if he wants, destroy demons. So we see that he also killed many demons, not just one demon, like Hiranyakasipu, but constantly he killed demons. All the demons sent by Kamsa, and then Kamsa himself, and then all Kamsa's friends, and Jarasandha and all these other people, he killed them all. Dantavakra, etc., Narakasura, etc., all of these he killed. So Krishna killed many, many demons. So his power is much greater than any other form of the Supreme Lord, the manifesting power. But he doesn't have to show that power even. He can, simply by his will, he can do everything. But he displays powers to give mercy to devotees. By showing these powers, then devotees become inspired. So, oh yes, he is the Supreme Lord, or whatever. So for certain people, he displays powers like this. Though he doesn't have to. For other devotees who are not interested in powers, he displays only the sweetness. And that is actually considered superior. So the devotees in Vrindavan are considered superior to the devotees in Dwarka and Mathura, or in Vaikuntha or anywhere else. Because they don't even think about his power. They're simply attracted to his wonderful sweet qualities. So that attraction is considered to be even stronger than the attraction that people have for his powers. So that is the even more important than his the Supreme Lord's powers is his sweet qualities. So in the material world, people want to get rid of material difficulties, so they pray to the power aspect of the Supreme Lord to destroy those obstacles, etc. But a devotee with proper understanding simply has to worship Krishna with his attractive qualities, and automatically all that is covered as well. Because Krishna contains all powers. So therefore, it's not necessary to go to other forms of the Lord or devotees or anyone else. Everything is complete in Krishna.
Talk about karma mishra, it is the person who is doing bhakti to the Lord for the material enjoyment, or the person who is doing devotional service and he is still having unwanted desires.
Well, that depends. Actually, there are unwanted desires in pure bhakti itself until one gets to prema. In other words, no one is pure until prema. And even bhava stage, there are unwanted desires, as we see in the case of Bharat Maharaj or someone like that. But we cannot say he was doing mixed bhakti, but he did have some desires. And in sadhana bhakti itself, in pure bhakti or uttama bhakti, there are also desires because one goes through the process of anartha nivritti. And gradually the desires are lessened and lessened and lessened. So, all sadhana bhakti is necessarily impure. But we distinguish two types of bhakti, mixed and unmixed there. So mixed means explicitly we do have desires and we're worshipping the Lord, but we want to get things from the Lord in our bhakti. Those who practice pure bhakti, they may have desires or whatever, but they're not explicitly trying to get things by doing the bhakti. When they're doing their devotional service, they're not thinking, oh, I have to get this, I have to get that by chanting Hare Krishna or whatever. They're simply chanting to become a devotee of Krishna, that's all. So definitely they have desires, but they're not using that bhakti to fulfill their desires. So that is called pure bhakti also in sadhana stage. What's that? Yeah, that is what all the people in Vrindavan do. They don't go to anyone else, only Krishna.
Maharaj, does the anasana
karma also? It's slower though. No, not spiritual.
How the devotees can recognize the rasa? How the devotees can recognize rasa and rasa they have?
How they recognize rasa? Well, that is cultivated during sadhana, that particular relationship. They cultivate a certain relationship and that becomes manifest fully in prema. They have a rasa called baya, bayanic rasa, but that is not the same as the fear in the material world. The fear in the material world is for our particular situation, temporary situation or whatever. In the spiritual world, there's a secondary rasa called bayanic rasa in relation to fearing for Krishna. Somebody will attack him. Of course, nobody attacks Krishna in the spiritual world, but there's a fear that some demon may attack him or something like that. Yeah? Or there's a fear that Krishna may leave, etc. Or fear that one has committed aparadha against Krishna or something like that. So that type of fear is there, but it is a secondary rasa in the spiritual world. Well, just fear from any causes. Fear of danger of one's body, fear of sickness, fear of so many things, pain. There's many problems in the material world, so people have fear of those different things, birth, death, old age, and disease. People fear those things. And there's many causes for that. So that's the main fear. Fear of death. Fear of non-existence. Yeah, eventually, because of their impersonal association, they give up the form of Paramatma and they merge. Well, we don't separate the worship. We cannot worship Radha separately.
But in Vrindavan, Krishna is a normal person, he can see everything for the brother.
No, ultimately, according to philosophy, Krishna is supreme. Radha is Shakti. But Krishna is supreme. So we can't say that, in other words, it becomes more like Shakti worship or Durga is supreme or something like that. People who believe in Durga. Okay. Of course, Krishna is ultimately controlled by Radha in one sense, but still he is Ishvara, he is Supreme Lord in terms of philosophy. So that can never be removed. And therefore we see in Lord Chaitanya's teachings, we never see Radha separate from Krishna. Krishna is always there. Well, jnanis and yogis can get impersonal liberation. That's it. Then they're finished. If they get association with devotees, then they can progress to bhakti. Provided one gets association with pure devotees practicing pure bhakti. If one doesn't, not necessarily. One can become purified and end up in the spiritual world with Salokya, Sarupya, etc.
Dhritarashtra.